Yeah, amen. Billy, and I had his name and I forgot it. William Booth said, you know, he wanted to start a rescue mission 3 feet from the gates of hell, and we're just a few feet beyond that. Amen. And but I'll say this, everybody, you know, when they hear that I'm in Vegas, they say, oh, you're in Sin City? I look back, I say, what, there's no sin in your city? You got people, you got sin, amen. And it is possible to live in Las Vegas and not frequent the casinos and not give them your money, amen. And I haven't given any in many, many years, amen.
Amen.
And you know, when I first got saved, preacher, I did one of those things like you did. I did one of those things that in the flesh kind of thing. And I was saved. I was newly saved when I went there. And, you know, I walked into it. Back then, every store had an island of slot machines. Some on both sides of the aisle when you walked in. And you could not go anywhere in a store without going by one. Now, Walmart moved in and Walmart changed all that. Amen. They don't have them in the store too much. You might find one, a room that they built, but even most of them don't have that. So what happened now, you can actually go in a store and not have to be, you know, accosted by slot machines. Amen. Say accosted, when they're going ding, 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 whoop, 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 all around you, yeah, you get accosted. Well, I went in Skaggs Alpha Beta back in those days, and they had an island here and an island here, and I knew better than to pull this thing. They don't have them anymore, I'm told. Now you push a button and, you know, does everything electronically. But I knew better than to pull that because that's just worthless. That pays the entire overhead on Las Vegas. So, but they had a video poker machine there. And I was a poker player before I got saved. And I thought, you know, if I was to put money in that machine and it deal me a hand, I could walk out of here all right. I didn't have any change. Well, I went all the way to the back to the Skaggs Alpha Beta was a, it's like a Walgreens. I was back there with the doctor getting my medicine and all that, you know, and I come back out and had 3/4. Brother Danny, I put 3/4 in that machine. That's all I had right there was 3/4. I put them in there and I punched the button. That thing dealt me a winning hand the first time. Don't you know it? That thing dealt me 4 aces. And it said, do you want to roll this over and keep playing? Do you want? And I said, no way, I'm getting out of here. I said, pay me now.
Amen.
I never got so embarrassed in my whole life. Standing there with a ball cap, catching the quarters coming out of the machine. While it's going ding, 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 ding. And a little yellow light going off and a little siren going whoop, whoop, whoop. I said, Lord, if you get me out of here, I will never do this again. Amen.
Amen.
That was the end of my gambling days right there. Praise God. But, you know, God's doing a great work. We've got some young men, I'm telling you, I'd put them up against about anybody. When it comes to their ability to handle the scriptures, they've taken what we've taught them, they've run with it, they're using it, and that is exciting. Amen. I don't know about you, but I get excited watching people serve God. And so I'm thrilled to have that privilege. And I want to say this, I'm thrilled to be here. This is the highlight of my summer.
Amen.
Right here.
Yes, sir.
We're in it for this week, amen? And that really, all the credit, the glory goes to God. Tim McVeigh and I did not start this meeting. No, we just came here. God did it.
Amen.
Amen. And actually, we came here at the request of the pastor, so it had to be his fault, right? Amen. But it got started. God started this thing, and y'all know that have been here, well, how it's progressed, amen? And we've had some great meetings every year, amen?
Yes, sir.
And really, hearing about those folks that kept the doors open.
Amen.
There used to be an old man over here in Pike named Billy Onda. I don't know if anybody knew him. But I knew Billy Onda as a little boy. I would come to Houghton area. I had some relatives up there, and I would come up there and we would pull in. They used to have the Sunoco station there in Houghton. And I'd pull in there, and every time I'd come, he knew my great uncle who I helped build the garage that's on around the corner there. And he built that garage, so he would always treat me like I owned the place. And man, I'd walk out of there with pocket stuff full of candy and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Bubble gum and Coke. You know, back then you could get a Coke out of the machine for a nickel. You know, you put the nickel in and it slid out like this. Amen. And so I'd walk out with my Coke and my candy, and I just, and Billy Yonda, he just was a fine old gentleman. And he kept that church in Pike open for years, showing videos. Why? Because he couldn't get a preacher. You know what I'm trying to encourage my young men to do? Preach. Amen.
Yeah.
And then pray and see if God wouldn't have you go to some of these places. I'm an old man now, man. You know, I would love, preacher, I could take you out west. You could take me around here. I could take you to any number of towns with 5,000 or more people that don't have a church.
Right.
No gospel witness. Mm-hmm. And man, a guy could circuit ride and just go and go and go. But I'm only one man. I'm getting old.
Man.
What are you trying to do? I'm trying to teach young men to do it. Amen.
That's right.
I've been praying about something. Y'all pray with me. Amen. I'd even start something up like that and take a young man with me and groom him. Amen. Why? Because it's needed. Man, people are dying and going to hell in our country. Amen. And they need us. They need people. Amen. That'll keep the church going. That'll keep the message going.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And my hat's off to you. If I had my hat, I'd doff it. Amen. But, there's something to be said about that.
Yes,
folks talk about the judgment seat of Christ, and you know, all the great preachers and all that, but I think all the great preachers, this one included, I'm not all I'm saying I'm a great preacher, just this preacher included, amen, is going to be in the back of the line. And there's going to be some little old ladies, some little old men up there in the front of the line that kept churches open
right.
when no preacher would go.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. May the Lord bless this week. Amen. Take your Bibles and go to Colossians chapter 3, if you would. This has been my meditation, was my meditation, all the way from Ohio in about 8 hours in the truck. My wife gets to hear it again because she wrote a bunch of the notes down for me as I quoted them. I've added a few, though, so she'll get some new stuff. Amen. But it amazed me that Wednesday night, I have not seen Alan Moravec in years. And when Alan Moravec opened his mouth, my wife and I looked at each other and said, he's been riding in the back seat all the way up here. Amen. God knows what he's doing when he puts things together. And as we look in Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read the first four verses and then start. I want to ask you this question. What do you think on when you get up in the morning? Now let's read it. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Father, thank you for the privilege it is to be here once again. God, we don't take it lightly. We know, God, without you, this thing wouldn't happen. And Lord, the best we know how, we give you this vessel, God. We plead the blood to wash it anew and afresh. And Lord, you'd fill it with the sweet spirit of God to overflowing. And may the Holy Ghost take the word of God and apply it to our hearts and speak to hearts, Lord, and draw us closer to you. Make us more of what you'd have us be. Lord, for the lost, I pray, God, conviction from the Holy Ghost on their sin. For the saved, I pray, God, conviction on the Holy Ghost, God, for their waywardness. Lord, whatever needs to be done, Lord, and God, for strength for those that are just, God, plowing and trying and God, putting their effort into it. God, may you give them grace and help, Lord, today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to preach on this thought. Living supernaturally. That thing said there in verse 3 said, you're dead, but you're alive. You're dead, but your life is hid with Christ in God. That's one of the great paradoxes. There's several in the Bible, but that's one of the great paradoxes found in the Bible. You're dead, but you're alive. Amen. Now, this is what God had to say about it. That we were dead. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 said, you hath he quickened, given life, who were dead in trespasses and sin. So we were dead in trespasses and sin, but when Jesus Christ came in, we became alive. And you look at that thing and say, well, preacher, if you're dead, how come you're standing up there? Because I'm alive. Well, how can you be dead? How can you be alive at the same time? That preacher, that is impossible. Amen. You'd be right in one sense of the word only. But it is impossible. I mean, I've been to a lot of funerals. I buried my dad about 5-6 years ago. Amen. And he was in the box and he didn't get out. Mm-hmm. He was dead. There was no more life there. But oh, I remember the day, amen, in Newport, Pennsylvania, back some 30-some odd years ago, when my father bowed his knee right about there in front of the pulpit. Amen. Got down on both knees, in fact, and just looked toward heaven. He said, oh, God. And he began to cry out to God. Just like I just cried right there. And when he got done crying, you knew he got something. Amen. How'd you know that? He turned to me and he looked and he said, Cliff, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. I said, Dad, what's gone? He said, that burden, it's gone. Amen. 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 And I remember the day, amen, when my father got saved. And I'm here to tell you, you can be dead and alive at the same time. But it is impossible. Well, I seem to remember reading in a book. Let me see. Yes, it was the Bible.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
That Jesus said, amen, that with God, all things are possible. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. Amen?
Yes, sir.
So with God, this thing is possible. The problem we've got is when we try to take it over. When we try to do it our own way.
Yes,
and a lot of us are like that little 2-year-old, you know, when you're trying to teach them how to eat. Amen. Whatever age they are, we start feeding them. I can't remember all that. I got my granddaughter here, and she's one of the younger ones. She's 13. Amen. But you know how it goes, and they're sitting there and you're just trying to stuff them. Give them the food. They take the spoons and me do. And they get it all over their face, amen. Me do, me do, me do. Some of us are like that kid, amen. You know, Jesus told his disciples that. It was in Matthew chapter 10, and it was right before that, he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I've read all the stuff, you know, studying like a preacher does. I've read all the stuff. And some knucklehead, you know, he wrote this story about how this was actually a gate over there in Jerusalem, and it was so low the camels had to kneel to go under it. I got news for you. It's a literal needle. It's a literal camel that Jesus is talking about there.
Yeah.
So how do you know that? Because he said, it's impossible. If it can be done, you don't need God. And what we're talking about, amen, is to live, amen, a supernatural life. It takes God. You can't do it on your own.
Yes, sir. Right.
Too many people try.
Help us, Lord.
Too many times we try. Amen. God said it was impossible. If it's impossible, it takes God. Now, have you ever been into that realm just for a little while? Where you knew you didn't do it, but God did it.
Amen.
And it could only be attributed to God. I'll say this about living in this kind of a life, a supernatural life, where God gets into it and God does it through you. Amen. God gets all the glory.
That's it. Amen.
When people see it, they give God the glory.
Amen.
Now, you know, and I'm thinking of some great works. You can do a great work in the flesh.
Oh, man.
Oh yes, help us.
You can do a great work without God.
Yes, sir. I've seen that.
And men will pat men on the back and say what a wonderful, great work they're doing. But if you only knew. Amen.
Yes.
I mean, look, there's big churches around this country, amen, that were built completely on the flesh. There's crowds of people, amen, that are built without God.
Right.
And in the name of a church. And God was anywhere near.
Right.
But yet it's great. It's huge. It's big. It affects a lot of people. Let me say this. We will affect a lot of people in our lifetime.
Yeah.
So I live in Black Creek, New York, and then, you know, I don't see more than 10 people a day. Add that up for 60 years and see where you come out.
That's right.
You'll affect a lot of people somewhere along the line. Amen?
Amen.
If we could ever get to the point where 100% of the time we lived in this right here in Colossians 3, supernaturally, where we were dead, but Jesus Christ was alive in us, it changed the way this world looks. It changed our outlook. If we're not in this realm, then we're dead. If we're not dead but alive, you're only dead. If the flesh is doing it, you're dead. It's dead. One thing I noticed, man, there's, you know, driving the highways, you know, I don't see as many as I used to. Brother Danny, you can testify to this fact. Amen. All the highways we've covered in years, lots of dead animals on the road. Mm-hmm. I noticed one thing about dead things. They puff up and they stink.
Yeah, that's right. You're wrong.
That's two things, isn't it? You know, without God, everything we put our hand to only puffs us up and stinks. It's dead. You know what else? When we do a great work and God's not in it, we get the glory. God said he wouldn't share his glory with another.
That's right. Amen.
And listen, I'm not talking as I'm trying to talk about a supernatural life. I'm not talking about a hocus pocus. Okay? Hocus pocus is simply that, hocus pocus. Amen. Demonic or fake. Amen. One of the two. I'm talking about the reality that Jesus Christ lives in us. And everybody we know that we come in contact with knows it. Amen. The life speaks. The reality that God is doing the work through us. That's where I'm trying to get to is today. Romans 7. If you look in Romans 7, we're not going to turn there, but you read Romans 7, Paul will show you. He had a hard time too. Paul didn't live in this life completely either. He lived in a flesh and blood body just like you and me. Romans 7, oh wretched man that I am, for that I would, I do not. He lived there. And he said this, I find then a law warring in my members, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He struggled with it. But when you read on to Romans 8, he showed us how to overcome. He showed us how to dwell there. Amen. It's through the Spirit of God. It takes, amen, letting God do the work.
Amen.
Amen. I got some thoughts going through my mind here. I'm just trying to sort it all out. When you look at it from the natural mind, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he understand them, for they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14, I believe Brother Moravik used that verse on Wednesday night. If you stand back with just what we know as men, women, boys, girls, in the flesh, this thing's an impossibility. Basically where we're getting is living the Christian life. Living where things are impossible. Day in, day out. It may be an area of faith where we need to come up a little bit. It may be an area of finances. My wife and I lived for almost 25 years in an impossible realm. I mean, every day. I told folks a lot. If you took my checkbook and tried to pay my bills, you'd laugh. Because I do. Well, you know what happened just last year? I broke my back 40 years ago in the Air Force. Didn't know it for 30 years. They're just now catching up with me. And now, the Lord increased me a little bit. I get a little bit of help from the Air Force now for the problems. You may notice me carrying a cane. If you see me stumble, that's why I carry the cane. But I'm trying not to use it as much as I can, you know. But for all those years, Brother Dick, all those bills got paid. When we had nothing. I mean, I'm in New Guinea, Brother Dale, and I'm drawing a good salary, amen, from God's people. Amen. We got to the field, and God doubled our support after we got to the field. I mean, it was wonderful. I still could have used more, but it was nice to be able to take care of things. And then God, amen, in his great foreknowledge and his wonderful, amen, provision for me and direction, I come off the field and I'm home for furlough trying to go back, and God said, you're not going back. Man, how do you unsurrender from the thing you gave your life to? But wait a minute, I didn't give my life to the field. I gave my life to God first.
Right.
So after all of about six weeks and more of back and forth with God, those are my people. They're whose people? No. That went on, things like that went on for about 6 weeks. And then finally I said, Lord, if I don't go back to the field, I'm going to lose all my support. You ever say something to God and have him not answer you? I mean, no reply. I said, God, it takes support to do the work. And then the Lord spoke up and said, so? I said, but the brethren, they're not going to understand this. He said, who's the brethren? Did they save you? Are they the ones really keeping you? Are they the ones enabling you? I said, well, Lord, they send money. I use that, in the work. He said, I'm trying to get you to a place here. And he spoke to my heart with Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever God commands you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. He said, you want the lo? Then you got to go. I said, but Lord, I don't even know where to go. You want me to go into all the world with no money? Last thing I knew, I think it's Proverbs 19:24 or somewhere in there. The proverb says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. It's expensive to travel, and I'm going to lose all my money. The Lord said, you think I'm broke? I guess not, Lord. So I put out the letter, and right away, man, 90% out the window. And God said, now, here's where I want you to go. Okay, Lord, the only thing I know is jump in with both feet. Here I am, Lord, I'm out on the water. Where do we go from here? You want me to go there? So I go, and what do? You got to account for what you're doing. So I go around, I'm figuring this thing out. I said, well, it's going to cost me $4,800 to get me and my family there and back. And that doesn't include, any other expenses. And within, to make a long story short, or as Brother Moravia would say, a longer story shorter, within about a month time, God took care of it all.
Amen.
I had saved for 1 year because I'd been asked to come to this place. I saved for 1 year. I saved up enough for two of us to get there. At that time, there were four of us. My oldest was already married. She lived in Michigan at the time. And so we had a little family conference, and we bought two tickets, knowing myself and one of my daughters were going to go with me. But remember, they wanted all of us. And God wanted all of us. So 7 days prior, I get a phone call from the church secretary. You got to come to the church right now. I said, well, I was coming in about a half hour. No, you got to come right now. Okay, I'll be right there. So I drove over, took me a couple of minutes. I got over there. I walked in the door, and she handed me enough money for the other team.
Amen.
And nobody, but nobody knew that I needed two tables.
Amen.
And God has done that, that very same thing for over 20 years. So then God gives me this increase, Brother Danny. And I'm thinking, well, great, man, that'd be a, I can finally pay these bills. You know what I said last week? God, how on earth did you pay these things? I still ain't got it all. What is it? It's living supernaturally. It's living in God's provision. It's living in God's power. It's living in God's presence. It's living where God is. What's it say in Colossians 3? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Amen. Verse 3 says again, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So if you've got a life and you're saved, where's it hid?
Amen.
It's hid there. Well, them scriptures that have always been there. Hey, man, I like that, bro. That's good.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So, here it is. We do. We've got a life. Amen. Hey, man. The world says, get a life. Sorry, I got one.
Yeah.
The best you could ever get, man. A life, live, amen, with Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. You can't beat it. If I'd have known it was this good, man, I'd have come out of the womb with it, man, somehow. I'd have begged God to save me on the way out of the womb, man. Why? I'd like to start that young. I wasn't too smart. It took me 24 years before I got a hold of it. You know? So I got 24 years of bad stuff to do away with, amen, that still rattles around in my brain, amen, and fights me every time I try to do something for God. Man, what a deal. So it might be, amen, that there's an area in your faith where it's not God. There's a warning, and I'll give you this right away. There's a warning with once you get into this thing where you really figure it out. And I don't mean figure it all out and get all the answers. I mean you get to the point where you can kind of do it, you know. Kind of let go and let God, as they say. And God's working in your life. There's a point where that becomes the norm. Just like there are people growing up today, young people growing up with mom and mom, and they think that's normal. That's not normal. Amen. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to use that as an illustration. Hey, look, the current situation you're in can become the norm. And like I said, 25 years, amen, of just living where God had to do it all because I think. And even now, after God increases me a little bit, I still can't. Without Him, man, it's impossible.
Right.
You can't do it. But what happens? It kind of gets normal to you. And you get comfortable with it. And if you're not careful, comfort leads to complacency. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, amen, what happens then is you get to the point where you just think this is the way it's going to be. But you forget the fact that it's God doing it. So then what happens? You get out on that limb somewhere, amen, where you didn't really check with God before you went. See, living supernaturally, you're checking with God sometimes minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. How many days go by where we wake up in the morning and don't even think about, Lord, if you don't do this today, it's going to fall. Lord, I need you today. Without you, Lord, I am going to mess this thing up. Amen. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, he said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. There it is again, death and life. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. He goes on down and said, for all things and for your sake, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Faith. Living by faith. Amen. When you operate day by day, in the things you do day by day. Is God ever in the thoughts? Man, I tell you, I get scared if I'm going down the road and I start thinking about a worldly song. Why? Because most of the time when I'm down the road, you can ask my wife what I'm thinking about. She'll tell you. Something in that book's going through my mind. Why? Because I have to. If I don't, I become me. And I don't like me. You wouldn't like me. You know why you like me? You like me because of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't like me. I can't put up with me. Amen. And if I let that stuff come back quick, man, it ain't long. It's in like a flood. And there I am going down the road. And it's hours before I think about God. My faith. It might be an order of an area of finances. Amen. You know, when the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, do you live by that principle? Oh, but I don't have it. I bet you do. I don't have it to give. I bet you do. You've got something. Even if it's only you. Really what God wants first is you. And after we give us to Him, then He can direct and put through us what needs to go through us and in us. You know, that doesn't make sense to an accountant. Give and it shall be given unto you. If the accountant took some of our balance sheets, you know, and said, how'd you do this? God.
Amen.
God. There's no way you could give. I remember Brother Homer Smith one time, the IRS audited him. They said, oh, there's no way you could do this. He said, oh, yes, there is. I'm still here alive. He said, God does it. I can't explain it. I put it this way. God's calculator has buttons. Ours don't.
Amen.
Amen. But it said this, for with the same measure you meet, withal it shall be measured unto you again. And it said there in 2 Corinthians 9, it said that he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. The guy that soweth sparingly, reap sparingly. You know, it's easy for anybody with any discernment to look at a person's life and tell just where they are with God by how much the blessing of God is on their life.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. How much do people see God give things to you? God give blessing to you. God give other things to you. They see that life and they scratch their head. How do you do it? I don't. I had a son-in-law, man. I have a son-in-law still. But years back, he said to me, he said, Dad, he said, how in the world do you do it? I said, do what? How do you pay your bills? I said, I don't. He said, you've got to pay your bills. I said, no, I don't. I said, no, my name goes on the check, but I'm not the one paying.
Amen.
I said, you got to understand something. He looked at me and said, what are you trying to tell me? What are you talking about? I said, it's my job to do what I'm told. It's my job to do what my Lord says do. If He says do it, then He supplies for it.
That's right. Amen.
Simple as that. So it's my job, amen, to go where I'm supposed to go, do what I'm supposed to do, to say what I'm supposed to say, and then it's God's job to pay my bills. He's the one who sent me there. I mean, try traveling. You know, I see people all the time. Oh, I wish I was a rich evangelist, man. Oh, I could have me a nice big pickup truck and a nice big trailer. Oh, I could do that. I said, yeah, and you could pay them great big bills too. I said, you have no idea. First off, that's not my truck. That's God's truck. That's not my trailer. It's my wife. No, I'm kidding. It's God's trailer. On the way here, we're coming across. I pulled up out of Oklahoma, turn on 44 there in Oklahoma City, and all of a sudden I start hearing just coming out of the truck. Where in the world is that coming from? I've never had a turbo diesel that broke before. I've had turbo diesel, never had one break. I hear it. And the more you step on it, the louder it gets. And there's just wind blowing everywhere and air blowing everywhere. What in the world is blowing? I lift the hood and I got my wife, step on it. I said, I can hear it, but I can't see it. I don't know what's going on. It's in there somewhere. I drove a little further. I got to Joplin, Missouri. It was getting so bad, I said, I better stop. We pulled in for the night. I called the Ford dealer the next morning, took it down there. Oh, yeah, he said, these intercooler lines. I said, oh, that's nice. I know where the turbo is. He said, well, it goes to the turbo. He said, both of them need replaced. $500. Thank you. I've got to have them replaced. Can I tell you to pay for them? How to get paid for it, God.
Amen.
It happens like that frequently. Did you notice when we were reading back there in 2 Corinthians? I read it there to you. 2 Corinthians 4, he said, they're troubled on every side. They're perplexed. They're persecuted. They're cast down. Bearing about in the body of dying of the Lord. Did you notice those were not happy moments? Those are not something that you just run out and go, let me have some of that. Yeah. That looks like fun. That's better than a roller coaster. Well, it is in one way. Trouble. See, to live in a supernatural life, live in a supernatural world, there has to be trouble. There has to be problems. Why is that? Several reasons. But the main one is for the glory of God. Did you ever notice, Brother Dale, that life did not just get easier when you got saved?
That's right.
I mean, anybody in here, did life just all of a sudden become a bed of roses with no thorns when you got saved? I mean, everything's beautiful, you know, everything is wonderful. There's a reason for that. And so, you know, when we go through those things, what do? Well, the first thing that I do, amen, it's just common. It's just a normal thing. Lord, what did I do wrong? Yeah. All right, I'm having this trouble. I had to do something wrong. And that's another one of those times where I heard nothing from heaven. Okay, Lord, so I got to rephrase it. Lord, certainly I did something wrong. And the Lord said, what did you do wrong? I don't know, I'm asking you. You're God, not me, I don't know. I ain't got sense enough coming out of the rain without you. What did I do wrong? And the Lord said, absolutely nothing. Then why am I going through this? What's this for? Well, wait. But, I thought you was going to tell me like, okay, this is why. Just wait. God, just wait. So I'm waiting. And then I'm down the road, it starts opening up. And one day I pray, the Lord said, wait till the end of January. Okay, I can do that. I was trying to raise support. I'm going to the field. I've been in more churches than about anybody around. I mean, I've been in a different church every service, every night of the week. And one month, I was in a different church every service, plus every day of the month. 30 days and I was in over 30 churches. And I'm going, no support. How's this thing work? Well, then ain't that how it's supposed to work? You know, you present the work and you support it, right? I mean, back then, when you was going to New Guinea, you just stood up and said, I'm going to New Guinea, they'd stuff your pocket with money and send you out the door. I got nothing. What am I doing? Lord, I had to do something wrong. I know you called me to this. Lord said, just wait. All the churches I've been in, come January, after 6 months, come January, my support came in 22 churches took me on. Come February, 16 churches took me on. In March, 24 more churches took me on. And in 6 months' time, I had my support to get to the field.
Amen.
And boom, there it was. All God was trying to do is get to teach me that He was my sufficiency.
I like that.
I'm laying there on my belly crying before God saying, oh God, what went wrong? And God says, wait a minute. Is there food on your table? Back man, deputation, I believe more than I do now. And I said, yeah, there's food, Lord. He said, you got gas in the tank? Yeah, I got gas in the tank. All your bills paid? Yeah, I got my bills paid. He said, what are you crying about? I'm taking care of it. I'm getting you where you're supposed to be. Amen. It was dark when Peter walked on the water. It was deep. The waves were bad. The wind was boisterous. But really quick, what did Peter have to do? To do something impossible. To live in a supernatural realm. What did he do? He asked. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he did. Amen. How often do we ask? How often do we just say, Lord, I want to do that impossible task. I want to see you work in me and through me. And Lord, to get glory for you. Maybe it's in the area of witnessing. Maybe every time you go to pass out a tract, you shake and sweat. Oh, I can't do that. It's going to take God. There's an area of your life, amen, that needs God. That needs up. Oh, I've been saved for 50 years. I'll guarantee you. I thought, man, once I've been saved all these years, hey, it's going to get like riding a bicycle. I'll master it, right? That was the wrong thought. You don't ever master this thing. We're going to need God all the way home. Till we get out of this body, amen, and get, amen, in His presence in heaven forever. It's going to take Him. We can't do this thing alone. This week, amen, there's people going to be coming from all over. Many of them are already here. More yet to come. Amen. And listen, they're coming, amen, not to hear the great evangelist or to see the great pastor or to hear, amen, the great singing in Black Creek Baptist Church. No, they're coming because there's a great God they've heard about. And they've heard that God does a great work at Black Creek Baptist Church. Listen, we're going to need God this week more than ever. Amen. How about we ask Him to come daily, sometimes minute by minute. Invite Him. Amen. And then do those things which He tells us to do. Amen. So He can prove Himself great in us. You know, it might be this week some young person, some old person would come. And you'd be the very one that God would use to speak to their heart. Whether it be a kind word, a kind action, or perhaps, amen, you'd go through one of those situations where, you know, everything just blows up in your face and you just smile and praise God. Because you know, if God doesn't do it, it won't get done. Father, best I know how I did was told me to do. Lord, thank you for the opportunity. Take the word of God down. Please plant in our hearts. Help us this week, God, especially to remember we are nothing without you. Lord Jesus, the best we know how, God, to give ourselves unto you and ask you, God, please. Lead, guide, direct, and everything that's said and done this week. Father, give the pastor direction. Let Tim direction. Help us, Lord. And we'll thank you for it. God, bring honor and glory to yourself. Speak to lost souls, draw them to yourself. Speak to saved souls, God. And God, bring us to a higher place, a place closer to you, a place that's more supernatural, a place that gives more glory to you and more honor to you, a place that will lead you in our life. Thank you for it in Jesus' name.